PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This episode of time. How's it going? Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Chilling with Jurassic Agra.
Crespo.
I win. Hey, I'm with Steve Etchie. How's it going, Steve?
Happy to be here.
Hey, he gets it. He gets the joke. We're here. We're going to talk about some movie stuff real quick.
All right.
And maybe a little bit of TV stuff as well. We have confirmation.
Confirmed. 100% confirmation, guys.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was coked out of his mind when he made Street Fighter the movie.
Well, I mean, that would...
I read about that.
That would be one of the many reasons why it was a garbage film that even, what, like an 11-year-old Drew walked out of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even 11-year-old Drew was like, what?
Which is really sad.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is this shit?
I had no idea what good film was. All I know is that that wasn't it.
Here is Street Fighter's writer and director, Steven D'Souza. He says, quote, I couldn't talk about it at the time, but I can now. Jean-Claude was coked out of his mind. The studio had hired a wrangler to take care of him, but unfortunately, the wrangler himself was a bad influence. Jean-Claude was calling in sick so much I had to keep looking through the script to find something else to film. I couldn't just sit around for hours waiting for him. On two occasions, the producers allowed him to go to Hong Kong, and both occasions he came back late. On Mondays, he just wasn't there at all.
Wow.
There you go. So I recommend people go back and watch Street Fighter, and every scene Jean-Claude is in.
Just remember, he's on cocaine.
Either he is ripped on coke in that moment, or he's having some sort of like after coke hangover where he's barely able to function.
Mm-hmm. So I think any shoot I've ever been on, mm-hmm. at one point I've thought, what if I just didn't show up?
Yeah. What if I just didn't get there today?
Never showed up today. Yeah.
What if I just spent the day doing coke instead?
Yeah, I love how people think sets are fun.
So, if you guys remember, you may not remember, last year, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson had a couple of feuds with his Fast and Furious co-stars. Mm-hmm. First, him and Vin Diesel kind of had a clash of how to work together, and it was very public. It didn't work out well publicly. And then Tyrese put out a bunch of videos where he was talking all this shit about Dwayne Johnson and his Hobbs spinoff movie and how he was like fucking up Tyrese's gig and stuff like that. And remember that? Tyrese was like crying in the videos. He was having a total meltdown.
Really?
He later blamed it on some medicine he was on, some bipolar medication that was like new medication that he was having adverse reactions to.
I think I know what it is.
You may even know. Yeah, you might know. So. Anyway, that happened.
New ones don't come out very often.
So there you go.
Like in droves.
Exactly, yeah. So that was within the last couple of years. So that happened last year. So Andy Cohen, he does a show, Watch What Happens Live. He had Dwayne Johnson on. This is what The Rock says about that whole Tyrese Gibson thing. The whole thing with Tyrese, it was pretty disappointing because I had been friends with Tyrese for a very long time. I always feel like a beef requires two people to actually jump in it, and it was pretty one-sided. He had voiced his opinion a lot on social media. Apparently, he was going through some stuff, too, in his personal life. But no, we haven't talked, and I don't see where we would, and to me, there's no need to have a conversation.
No, there we go.
So Dwayne Johnson's kind of like,
I'm donezos
with Tyrese Gibson. Meanwhile, then Tyrese Gibson, someone asked him about it, and Tyrese Gibson says, let's see, Gibson admitted he was, that was the gist of any communication as far as my thoughts and feelings around all that stuff at the time that was going on. He says, stupid me was the only one who went public about those feelings. Oh, so this is what Tyrese Gibson says, that he's not the only one who, like, has bad feelings towards Dwayne Johnson. but he was the only one who went public with those feelings.
Interesting. Because, I mean, isn't he generally a well-liked person?
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson, yes. Yeah. It would seem he was.
That's what I thought so.
He's cultivated a this whole image of him being a very likable person.
Yeah.
But apparently, Tyrese, like other people, have had problems with him as well. But then he said the way he went public with it, it's not professional, it's not cool. And he also said that he wants to talk about it. So
yeah, see, I think this, he sounds like he's telling the truth. That totally describes the way a person acts when they have a meltdown like that related to a... I think
related to a medication of some sort?
Yeah, I think he was on Latuda.
Possible.
Which makes me laugh. The name of the Latuda.
Latuda. I'm on that Latuda. It's a very intense psychotic medication. Yeah. But it's Latuda.
Yeah, it's Spanish for the toot.
The toot. Tyrese said it was unprofessional to make it public and that the two, quote, will have a conversation. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson's like, no conversation needed. Tyrese is like, oh, we gonna talk.
Oh,
we
yeah.
gonna talk. Well, because I always figured, I mean, there's not nearly as much information out there, mostly because Dwayne Johnson is so huge.
Right.
Physically and his reputation.
Right.
But when it comes to Tyrese, he's famous. People know who he is, you know, but at the same time, not nearly as much. So you don't learn nearly as much about him. I've never seen him in I saw him in a short interview, but it was like a fluff piece, you know, on like the DVD of, you know, Transformers kind of deal.
Well, he's out there.
But I always imagined he'd be a really nice guy.
He seems nice.
He's not a real actor. He was a singer first.
That's true,
and then
too.
He decided to be an actor, and he's not very good at either of those things.
That's true. It's a little different.
I liked him in the original Transformers.
It's not like he was asked to do so much. He just had to be Tyrese. Same thing with the Fast and Furious movies.
True.
That's interesting. We'll see how this one plays out.
He looks badass.
Meanwhile, China getting in the big budget game, right? They just had their first big budget bomb over there in China. The Chinese box office. They did a movie called Asura. Asura is reported to be the most expensive movie in Chinese history. At a cost of $110 million to produce.
Okay.
Its opening weekend, it made $7 million.
Ah!
Wow. That's what was it called?
Asura. A-S-U-R-A. It's a Chinese fantasy epic.
Okay.
It's based on ancient Tibetan mythology. Expected to be the first in a fantasy franchise, a sort of Chinese Lord of the Rings type of deal.
Now that's weird.
Here's a still image, a picture of two of the characters with very Targaryen Game of Thrones.
I didn't figure they would really nice like the Chinese government. I didn't think they'd like anything about Tibet.
That's the thing. I'm surprised that they made a movie to acknowledge any sort of Tibetan.
Okay, anything. So it's not just me.
Okay. When I read that, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the Chinese now has ultimate control of their movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked that they have anything to do with Tibet.
Yeah.
They're trying to pretend Tibet doesn't exist.
Especially, like, with its history and culture and stuff, like, that sounds like it's being romanticized. Yes. And it's like, what?
They're like, no, you want to crush Tibet.
Yeah.
And just make it ours.
In less than 7 years.
And then what happened was the movie made so little money and did so poorly that they removed it from theaters after the opening weekend.
Mm. Oh!
So they're not even giving it a chance to make more money. They're just like, oh, it bombed opening weekend when I was
done. Now, see, that to me, I don't get that.
And now it doesn't exist anymore. They just want to get rid of the embarrassment instead of it sticking around.
Right? Okay, yeah, but I mean, I just figure, leave it in a little bit.
I know, right?
Nope.
It's crazy, right? We mentioned this a little bit, Drew, on the episode that came out this past weekend with John Hannan.
Mm-hmm.
His name is John Hannan.
He likes saying John Hannan.
John Hannan is such a better name to say.
It's like blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah.
John Hannan. John Hannan.
Heart attack. You want Hannan by now? We mentioned some of this briefly, very briefly, when on the John Hannan episode. Simon Pegg opens up about his depression. He says when he was making Star Trek, he got cast in Mission Impossible. He did so he was in a Tom Cruise movie, Mission Impossible 3. Right after that, he got cast in Star Trek. So he's in these big movies. He's a huge fan of these movies that he's in. And he says at that time, he had never been more depressed or unhappier.
Mm. Wow.
And there's a quote from Peg. I would feel like I'm in a film with Tom Cruise. So I got the part of Scotty in Star Trek. This should be making me feel happy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And he was self-medicating with alcohol at the time, so he was pretty much an alcoholic. And it says if you watch him go back and watch Mission Impossible 3, you see him at his lowest point in terms of succumbing to his alcoholism and just being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And then if you watch him in Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, he is much healthier and livelier. And he says, if you watch it too, you'll see a big difference in just his
demeanor.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah. And so he's just opened up about his alcoholism and his depression. And he's now in a much better place. He's gotten help. And he's just recommending good. Other people do the same.
Work. Good for him.
Maybe he'll be on Latuda.
Latuda!
Lil Toot.
Lil Toot. That's my hip-hop name. I'm Lil Toot.
Lil Toot.
The Mortal Kombat reboot is happening, guys. So I hope you're ready for another Mortal Kombat.
Why?
Because the first Mortal Kombat movie is one of the most financially successful video game movies.
I mean, it's so awful.
It's also one of the most well-reviewed.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm. It's very weird too, because like I mean, they had to pretty much make up everything, you know what I mean? Because there was no
no story,
no yeah. story.
It's just
all.
Fighters,
yeah. Fight. Yeah.
Same thing with Street Fighter,
yeah.
So really,
just fighters around the world.
So really, yeah. I guess that shouldn't be a surprise, because that basically just means that if somebody were coming up with a brilliant idea for a movie,
yeah.
you know, that was an action movie or whatever, that you could just apply those characters to. Because you could.
Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, because you're playing with nothing.
And then when they come up with something bad, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How did this happen? Why?
Very easily. That's how.
Very easily. All right, here we go. That was Sony. No, skip that story. Go back to this one first. The Dark Knight.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
10-year anniversary mm-hmm. of The Dark Knight coming out in 2008.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Is that insane?
Yeah, years. It is so... Wow.
To mark the 10-year anniversary of The Dark Knight coming out, there is a limited run of 10th anniversary IMAX screenings, because Christopher Nolan used IMAX mm-hmm. cameras for 4 or 5 action scenes. So when you watch it in an IMAX theater...
It blows up, because that's what we did.
We saw an IMAX theater. The opening scene is huge. It takes up the entire screen. It's incredible. And then it cuts back to 35mm, the anamorphic version. Yep. And it's almost annoying when it does that. Like, damn it, I want to go back to the big, awesome
And then it
version.
Does.
And then it does for the action scenes, and it goes back and forth. This was, IMAX limitations of the time of 2008. They've come a long way in 10 years.
Oh, yeah. They had that IMAX camera that there was only, like, 3 in the world, and they used one on that movie.
And
dropped it.
And I know, right? Oh my god. And when The Dark Knight came out, it was the first like big budget Hollywood film to use these IMAX cameras for their for their movies. Before that, it was all like nature documentaries and shit, you know.
Yeah.
Because
they're so big and clunky.
Exactly. It was a actual, and they could only hold
so heavy.
They could only hold like 2 minutes worth of film, I think. So it's a huge workaround. They are doing limited IMAX runs in August. But they're only in 4 select cities, so this is for our listeners specifically in Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Toronto. We know you're out there. I know you're listening to these cities, so people, check out these IMAX screenings, because you get the opportunity to do so.
See, this is weird. Like, I mean, I know the hardest part is getting hold of one of those prints.
Yeah.
But, like, there are IMAX theaters everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
pretty
I don't,
much.
Why wouldn't they just? I don't see why they wouldn't
do a wider release.
Yeah, like not completely wide.
And we have a true IMAX theater right here in Orlando, over at Point Orlando. So, yeah, we could have had a screening of Dark Knight. You know, I would go to it.
Yeah,
Nah, bruh.
Nope.
New York, San Francisco,
cool
LA, Toronto. That's it.
So
New
if
York,
it's IMAX,
not even Chicago. What
was 70mm?
Yes. 65mm, 70mm.
So it's showing in New York, Canadian New York, and 2 places in California.
And 2 places in California, Southern California.
I love San Francisco.
San Francisco. And San Francisco loves you, Steve.
Oh, yes, they do.
It loves you. Okay, Sony confirmed they are for sure doing their own Spider-Man connected universe without Spider-Man.
Huh.
So we got the Venom movie coming out in October. They're working on Silver and Black. That's a Silver Sable and
Black Cat.
Yeah, pretty much. Black Cat, Black Canary. I think one of those characters.
Black Cat
and Silver Sable. And they're also working on, what did they announce? Oh yeah, the Morbius movie that we mentioned briefly with Jared Leto. Morbius, Living Vampire.
So lame.
So they're making a connected Spider-Man universe of all the villains.
Without the connection.
Without Spider-Man.
Without the connection.
Without the connection.
Yeah.
I want to see them make another Image comic film other than Spawn.
Well, they're making Spawn.
They're making Spawn.
I know
they're
getting, I know
they're getting Miller World movies. That's close to Image.
That is true.
Yeah, you're
but I mean, I wanted Savage Dragon. How amazing would that be?
Yeah, but who's going to see it? You and Drew.
Oh, if they made it...
I wouldn't see... What are you talking about? The makeup would be so awful on that.
What if they could if they could do it right? I know,
it's
exactly.
It's a big green dude with a fin on his head, like a mohawk, walking around in a wife beater and a pair of jeans and a cop.
They got Martian Manhunter on TV.
Or Shadowhawk. In fact, we could continue this theme of, like, not theme, but, you know, of including, you know, not whitewashing, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shadowhawk's black.
Shadowhawk's black.
No.
Oh, cool.
Shadowhawk's black.
Well, then give me, let's do it. I'm down with Shadowhawk. Let's do Shadowhawk.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Shadowhawk's just Spawn without powers.
Here's a quote that is interesting. This is a quote from Emily Carmichael, co-writer of Pacific Rim Uprising, who met with Sony to do one of these spin-off Spider-Man movies. This is the quote. I was one of the directors called in to pitch on Silver and Black. At one of my early meetings on the project, I got a peek at the phone book-sized compendium of characters Sony has the rights to. All characters tangentially related universe, all rights. So they have the rights to hundreds of characters, and then conversely, Fox has the rights to hundreds of other characters, Marvel characters. And it's crazy how many characters are out there.
Yeah,
and Marvel doesn't have the rights to tons of them.
I bet you nobody has the rights to Shadowhawk.
Image us.
Well, yeah, no, I mean like any studios.
Oh, maybe. You never know.
Yeah, no, that's true. It could have been like a package deal when somebody bought Spawn.
Exactly.
And maybe you get all this other shit too.
It could be,
or
and then you're like, damn it, what am I gonna do with this?
You know what would be great CG? The Pit.
The Pit would be fun. How about a live-action Max movie?
They did have a... Well, it was a cartoon. But
yeah,
was it,
on MTV.
Yeah.
Back in the day. The Max. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Blew my goddamn mind.
TV. Action superhero. So I'm watching... I'm on season 4 of The Arrow on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much almost caught up now with it. And it's mostly terrible, but also kind of fun. The villains, Drew, is what's drawing me in.
Okay.
I'm enjoying the Flash villains. I think he has a pretty good cadre of, like, big bads. His villains of the week are weak as hell.
Yeah.
But his...
his big bads.
Flash.
The ones that keep coming back.
Yeah, or the big ones that give him the hardest time. Reverse Flash, Zoom, Gorilla Grodd, King Shark. Season 4 is DeVoe, a.k.a. The Thinker, who is, like, smarter than anyone else. He's that type of character. So I'm enjoying the big stuff and the timeline shenanigans.
Oh, you know what I enjoyed on TV yesterday, but not actually TV.
Uh-huh.
They had, what was it? I think it was AMC. They had a marathon of all the Lethal Weapons in order.
Oh, hell nice. Yeah. Yeah, Lethal Weapons are fun. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love the Lethal Weapons.
I enjoy those. I enjoy the hell out of those. So I'm enjoying The Flash, and but they cross over with The Arrow and Supergirl. I hate The Arrow characters. They all suck. They're garbage. I hate them. I hate them so much.
Supergirl's pretty awful, too.
And The Flash actually comes after Arrow, so it's technically the Arrowverse mm-hmm. that Flash is part of.
Yeah.
But fuck that. It's a Flashverse. Fuck The Arrow. And Supergirl's... I actually like the girl who plays Supergirl. I like their portrayal of the character. Laura Danvers, I think her name is. So... I'm all cool with her. She's fine.
What is Supergirl? Is it just like Superman? Like powers?
Yeah. She's an alien, so she has all the same. She has all the same
powers. Kryptonian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she is straight up Kryptonian. Yeah. But she's Danvers, though. But it's DC. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So.
Not Carol.
They're doing...
Different Danvers.
Every year, they do big crossovers. And like Legends of Tomorrow was broken off of The Flash, and they cross over with everything, so they're doing another crossover type thing. And in the crossover, they're making some direct references to Gotham and to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But now a character will be debuting on The Flash, I think, before getting her own series. I am talking about Batwoman.
Great.
Batwoman. Okay. Batwoman's already established character. Kate Kane is the person who played, who was the Bruce Wayne type. You know, it's Kate Kane, aka Batwoman. Apparently openly lesbian vigilante. Ooh, that's gonna be a lot of fun. So we get to see Batwoman kick some ass, and then make out with some chicks. All right. Male gazy as fuck. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So the CW breaking out their new addition to the Arrowverse, and it's going to be Batwoman. Whoa, man. There you go. Yeah. So I married an expert, or Mike Myers, one of his forgotten fun films. Heed, paper, Remember? Right? That's when the giant head guy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This kid is a Scottish family. Drew, you gonna watch Batwoman?
No.
Okay, so we got Breaking Bad news, sort of, with Better Call Saul Season 4. Getting ready to debut. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a fan of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fun stuff.
I think it's good. They are confirming Better Call Saul Season 4 will have some significant better Breaking Bad crossover.
Okay.
Like, we're going to start seeing some stuff. Maybe scenes, Breaking Bad scenes from a different version, different viewpoint. We're going to see more Breaking Bad characters. We already introduced Gus Fring.
Yep.
And Tuco.
And Tuco.
So, but now it's a rumor. It's a good possibility. Season 4 may see a Bryan Cranston, Walter White cameo.
Nice.
Of some sort. Yeah, so there we go. The connections may start becoming more apparent between Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and there's a contest out now, too, where you can win like a chance to hang out with Jesse Pinkman. I forgot his real name.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah. Okay. And
do I like watch a show or something?
No, cook in the
Winnebago RV.
Yeah,
you're gonna make some fake crystal meth.
That's fun.
I mean, I think it's food, but like, still though, like
that's cute. That's awesome.
I like that. That is a good idea.
They've always had fun with their fans and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember for the season finale. They got an RV, just like the RV that they used.
And they gave out rock candy.
They gave a blue rock candy. But what they did was they had a contest, and some people won. So some fans got chosen to like ride in the RV with Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul to a location where they had set up for the debut of the finale. So you got to hang out with them and sit in the VIP section with them and watch the finale. They did like this really big brouhaha thing.
Yeah.
They're very cool. They treated their fans well, the Breaking Bad folks. They're nice people.
Can you imagine though, did you say the premiere or did you say like the end of the series?
It was the premiere of the finale.
Okay.
The final episode.
Right, right.
Maybe the final 'cause
I was thinking like, that's kind of dicey, you know, because like, what if you won that same contest, but with Lost? Now you have to turn to the cast members and be like, that was bullshit.
That sucked. Yeah, or Sopranos. What was that? Did it just cut out at the end? Yeah, no, they were confident. They were pretty confident in the Breaking Bad finale. It was one of the best finales ever, I think. So.
I never saw the end.
That's great, man. It ends really well. It's good stuff. Those are all my stories. So Drew, how you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
You doing good?
I finished Legion finally.
What'd you think?
Season 2.
How did that end? That ending?
Dude, the
way they set up season 3?
The entire everything. It was amazing.
They did it.
Yeah.
They brought David back to where he's supposed to be.
Yes.
If you follow the books.
Well, if you know anything about the actual Legion character.
Yeah.
It's finally all coming to a head.
They even showed the image of tall hair and David sitting in the chair with all the bones.
And season 2 was so fun.
It's a fun, crazy season. Yeah. Legion's a wild show, Steve. You gotta check it out, man.
I've been meaning to.
A comic book show, but like unlike anything else.
That's laying there with
Netflix, right?
With pregnant FX. Aubrey Plaza.
That's what's it on though? It's just on FX.
FX.
It's on FX, but I was thinking,
I don't think it's on any other service right now.
No. I was thinking it was on Netflix.
I don't think it is.
I think maybe season 1.
Well, I mean, it could be because it was a while ago.
So. They just did season 2. Yeah, true. Yeah, man. Wild. This is so good.
Yeah, with pregnant Aubrey Plaza, that's not Aubrey Plaza because of what happened.
What happened because with... Oh, my God.
That, I was like, what?
And then the multiverse episode then catches you up to that moment where he realizes that's what happened and you get to see all the different versions. Yeah. Oh, my God.
She's my current...
Aubrey Plaza's amazing. I've loved her for years. She had a stroke when she was like 24.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She had a full-on stroke at the age of 24.
Holy shit.
She had to like recover from and stuff. I think she's fantastic. And then Legion, she's in seasons 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
Season 1, she gives like the most gonzo performance. Season 2, bonkers is
still
the word.
Bonkers.
Season 2, the first half, they didn't give her a character. She was like kind of the held in prison thing. But then the second half, she literally breaks out and then her character gets to do
crazy.
More. Yeah. And man, she kills it on that show. She is so good. Like speaking of like Arrow and The Flash. So now I watch most of The Flash. I'm going to check in on Batwoman just to see the tone. I'm just curious as to what they try to do with this character to try to separate from everything else. Supergirl, I gave it a shot a few episodes. It is just a little too hokey. The Arrow, I don't know what it is about Arrow, but I fucking hate Arrow. I think I hate the character.
I don't even know who he is.
You're okay with that.
Arrow, the Green Arrow. He's the...
I mean, I choose arrows and stuff. I never cared for...
I never cared about the comic book versions of these, so I'm just watching them as TV shows. And Arrow sucks so much. But, I'm interested in Batwoman, but Legion is like, oh, you think those are comic book shows? Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you think that's a comic book show? Let me show you what's possible with comic books and with these shows.
Legion, Preacher, I mean, both of those are just fucking off-the-chains, wacky, wild rides.
Off-the-wall stuff, and,
Okay, Hulu has the first
Hulu's what
season.
Has Legion.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Hulu users, jump on Legion. Check out that first season.
Yeah, which is only 8 episodes. What is this, England?
No, it's only 8. I thought it was 10. Oh, yeah, you're right. So the first one's only 8. The second one, they announced 10, but as the season was going, they're like, you know what? We're actually going to add an 11th. And they added an episode to the season. So season 1's 8. Season 2 was 11.
And you know, seriously, as crazy as it was, one of the best parts was all the remixes of the fucking songs that you know.
Yeah.
That they did for all the scenes.
For the soundtracks?
The soundtrack of the show.
I'm like, where can I find this? And it was all done by the...
By the composer of the show.
And they should release that.
Yeah, the music is great.
Well, no, they would have to get the... I'm sure...
Yeah, they
don't
think there's a separate... There's broadcast rights and there's reselling rights.
Exactly. It is, it is separate, but I mean, like, at the same time, I think you could afford it.
You would think so.
I don't know.
It's FX.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's cable.
They are trying to squeeze those pockets. More people are cutting the cord these days. I feel like with the last episode... I think it was the last episode. They reverse engineered everything to build up to Behind Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that wild with the animation and stuff?
It was.
Man, Steve, this is a show unlike anything else.
It was so wacky. It's
here's the thing. So Legion, and then you would appreciate this, Steve, for how much you hate this person, but Legion is a show where I would be like, it is the wildest thing that I've ever seen on TV, if not for the existence of Twin Peaks, The Return. Yeah. He hates David Lynch so much. And you know what, Steve? He watched like the first 5 or 6 episodes of Twin Peaks and he hated it. He couldn't
watch it either.
He couldn't take the new season.
What about his films?
I could give or take. It doesn't really matter to me.
He hates David Lynch.
David Lynch is too weird and audacious for me to hate.
Well, see, no, that's just the thing.
You appreciate it for what it is.
But I don't, because the reason I don't is because to me he's like Andy Warhol. Where he just threw something together and was like, "Ha-ha!" People are like, "Genius!" It's bullshit.
Yeah,
like that is David Lynch.
Jackson Pollock. Come on.
Yes.
Exactly. Motherfucker literally threw paint on a goddamn canvas, and people went batshit over it.
People love it. I think that's a simulation kicking in, is what it is. I think he's a user. What's happening there, as opposed to AI. Yeah. David Lynch, Twin Peaks The Return. If you're a fan of the original Twin Peaks, it's my favorite description of it that I ever read is that it's as if seasons 1 and season 2 came out on TV back in 1989-1990.
Uh-huh.
Seasons 3 through 24 got made but were never aired.
And you're coming in season 25.
And then season 25 comes out on Showtime in 2017. Wow. That's what it's like watching that show. And the evolution of the style of the show, it's like you don't get to see the evolution, so it just jumps from soap opera, a satire of soap opera, to a satire take of what TV is today.
Yeah.
But like beyond, so far beyond, so it's like Legion, but like, fuck you, Legion. It's like Preacher, but you don't know what you're talking about. Fuck you.
It's like, hey, viewer, fuck you.
Fuck you, viewer. Now, you want explanations? No, you're going to get 18 hours of like, almost impenetrable, inexplicable
weirdness
connecting you to the characters that you grew up and loved, and some of it's going to be very satisfying, and some of it's going to be so frustrating it's going to pull your hair out, and then when the show is over, fuck you, viewer.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I love that. And then you're like, David Lynch, can you please explain this?
No.
And he's like, my explanation is fuck you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? Okay, that's fine.
Sure.
I don't need...
Oh my god, I see it now.
I don't need everything spoon-fed to me. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, but to me, though, I will say this, though, is that in a way, I'm glad it's out, because if you like the stuff that David Lynch creates, then you don't have a lot of material. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like, you know those bands that you like, that you've liked for a really long time or whatever, that... Just they have this certain sound that it's different from anybody else.
Yeah.
And which basically means as soon as this particular band stops making music, you don't get to hear new music that sounds like them anymore.
Yes.
So I do like that, for David Lynch fans, as dumb as you are, that you get some of that content because let's face it, nobody else is making that content.
No. And a lot of people try to make something on that kind of surrealist sort of level, and it's like, this isn't. That's a thing. You sort of need to see like other people try it.
Yeah.
and they'd be like, oh, this is why Mulholland Drive is the way it is. Because other people try, it's like, you don't understand what makes this kind of stuff work, you know?
Bring in a Frenchman.
Ha! Let's do some French New Wave. Those French New Wave guys, like Godard and Truffaut, they were, like, poor as fuck trying to make their movies, and they... because of the way information was at the time, they didn't know what the French New Wave was, cinema, that they were part of this new thing, until it was all over, and they were told about it after the fact, and you're like, French New Wave? We were just making movies. Huh. They're like, no, you were a part of a movement. And they're like, no, we were just making movies is all we were doing, and we were poor as fuck doing it. We did not benefit at all whatsoever. Anyway, I just read that recently. So, that's cool. You want to finish Legion. Cool. Very cool. What do you have anything then queued up?
Next up, I gotta start Preacher eventually.
Preacher,
I should start that.
You may like on AMC. They did
that was Miller, right?
Garth Ennis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Garth Ennis. You may like on AMC The Terror because it's kind of historical based. Mm-hmm. And it's about an English expedition to find a passage through the Alaskan waterways and then getting stuck, like episode 2,
and failing miserably
and then trying to find their way home or trying to survive the winter, and there's polar bears that are out. So you may enjoy that one. It's really good. Only one season of it so far, and then they're doing a thing where they actually, AMC got a whole new showrunner for the season. So they're gonna do another season of The Terror, but it's gonna be a different story, different characters, a different maybe historical period.
Interesting.
Even a different showrunner this time. So it's pretty.
They're also doing that with The Walking Dead. Now there's Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes, that's a spinoff show.
You're right. I have a question about that. Do you guys know anything about that?
Nope.
Fear of the Walking Dead? Not really.
Okay, because here's my weird thing, right? Okay. I would say it's probably still on there if it's Netflix or Hulu. I don't remember which one. But
probably Hulu because it's FX. No, it's AMC, so AMC. Netflix. So I think that would be Netflix.
Okay. Well, so basically, I watched, like, they had, I think, like, 4 episodes.
Okay.
This was, like, 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I watched all the episodes, and I was like, I guess more will come out. No.
Oh, they haven't updated?
No, but...
Yeah, because I think they're on season 2 or 3.
Say, yeah, there have been plenty of seasons on television.
Yeah.
Damn it!
They keep putting it out.
Because it was interesting.
Oh, well, if you have cable, just pull up Spectrum On Demand, AMC. Yeah. It's all on there. You're good to go. If it's not on there, just pull up the FX, the AMC app.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be on there. Then you'll be able to get it all on there.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go. If you're into it, then yeah, check it out.
They're
still doing it. They're still making that show.
Yeah, it was good. I liked
it. There you go. Yeah, they're still making it. I checked out Walking Dead a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny seeing people now complain about Walking Dead online. It's like, man, hating on Walking Dead before it was cool.
I was about to say, I cashed out on Walking Dead after the first season. I was like, this is garbage.
No, I got it. I got out after the... funnily enough, I stopped watching the show at the same time that I stopped reading the books when they got to the prison.
Yeah.
They got to the prison storyline.
I didn't like the CDC.
That was, the end of season one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not like, season one's my favorite season. I didn't like the way it ended.
Yeah.
I didn't like the CDC ending. But season two at the farmhouse was the worst.
Yeah.
They were like, this show's too expensive. We need to cut back on the budget. Season. The entire season happens in one location. Fuck you, AMC. And they were like, we're looking for the daughter. Where's the daughter? In the barn the whole time. Fuck you, AMC.
I was about to say, that farmhouse in the comics was like a matter of like a few issues.
It was like panels.
Yeah.
Your phone is making sounds. Get that shit off the table. actually, you know what? The episode's over. Guys, thank you. Steve, thank you for hanging out with us.
Absolutely.
Drew, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everyone downloading and listening. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. We only have 63 reviews. We have way more listeners than that.
We need 6 more.
We need 6 more to get to 69. Get us the 69 reviews, then I'll stop asking for them, because at least then it's a joke.
In fact, he'll start deleting them once you get past that.
No, yeah.
Always at 69.
He's got to stay at 69. So, come on, guys. You really care about us at all, then show it.
I always forget to ask that.
Or are you going to ghost us?
What? I always forget to say that in podcasts.
Yeah,
rate us on iTunes.
Rate a review.
And it really is really important.
Rate a review of State of the Beer Union, because you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing. You only have my review under my fake account, the Philip Ungerman account.
Squat. And see, I didn't even know that.
Exactly. Check it out.
I haven't even looked at it.
Check it. Look, there's nothing there.
I have to write it, too.
That was the details. Just got 5 ratings. Just got the 5. It's been a year.
Nice.
But no, not nice. It takes too long. It's bullshit.
I was being positive.
Oh, fuck positivity. You ever been ghosted, Drew?
That's my life, dude. I'm pretty sure my entire life is just one long ghosting session. Where it's like, hey, how's it going? Hey, what's up?
Just so
no, nothing.
Just
nope.
So, just but, so frustrating.
Hello.
Like everything was going great.
No.
But
no,
you know
no.
what I'm talking about. Everything's going great. It's great, great, great.
And then it's just gone.
Like, why?
It's done.
Why? No explanation.
No. And you'll never get the explanation.
Well, I feel like, though, if I got the explanation, I would still think it's bullshit. Because you never see him again. Because he got ghosted. So. Yeah. I'm just saying. It's like, but then am I just going to get another It's Not You, It's Me? Because when you get It's Not You, It's Me, then you know.
That's the It's You.
It's you.
Not me.
I just don't want to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Which is like bullshit.
Yeah.
It's always bullshit.
Such bullshit.
Such bullshit, Steve. Steve, life is hard. So, thank you for downloading this thing. We appreciate it. You guys are the best. Sort of bestish. If I was going to fill out the Orlando Weekly Reader Poll for best podcast fans, would I check off the Cinema Crispy Soapbox?
I don't know.
You guys are cool and all, but I mean, we could be doing better. So, listen to the Lady Rap Plastic Show.
Yes.
Drew, stick off his headphones. He's out of here. Actually, shit, yeah, it's 4:00. I gotta go. All right, thank you. Peace.